Welcome to Cruise Youth again. My name is Sam, like what they said, Samuel, and my full name is Samuel Jubilee. Okay, so a fun fact is that I have a middle name, and yes, it's Jubilee, and my last name is Lee, so it's Samuel Jubilee. Okay, so today we're going to go straight into it. Okay, last week, how many of you were here at Cruise Youth service? How many of you weren't here? Alright, okay, so for those of you who weren't here, Pastor Tina shared about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay? And she was talking about what it means to surrender your whole heart to Him, okay? Yes, I think there's a slide. Can we show that? Yes, that's right. So today we are going to read this passage again, okay? Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Let's read together, okay? 1, 2, 3. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Heart our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Yeah, okay, so I have a friend, Titus. So Titus is a very funny and simple guy. He's currently, I think, just got back from India as a missionary. And one of the things he used to say was that in life, there are only three important things to him, okay? Healthy, happy, and holy, okay? So in the same way, Jesus sums up the commandments with love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? So does anyone here know when was the first time the phrase love your neighbor as yourself was mentioned? Just shout out a book of the Bible. Does anyone have a guess? Okay, I give you a hint. It's actually in the Old Testament. Moses. Okay, not bad, okay? It was actually in the book of Leviticus, okay? And these words were first seen in Leviticus chapter 19, okay? So let's turn to Leviticus 19 today. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9. Okay. So actually, in this slide, it's going to tell you everything that the law said you should do to your neighbor, okay, at that point in time. So you shall not reap your field right to its edge, right? You should not gather the gleanings of your harvest. You should not gather the fallen grapes, so on and so forth. There are many things, right? So how many of you can find one thing that is relevant to you today? One thing. Okay, wow. Everyone's looking. Okay, like, do not slander, right? It's obviously something that we still relate to. No injustice also. So there are a few that we relate to till today, right? That we shouldn't bear a grudge with people. But clearly there are some that are a bit more irrelevant, right? Like, we shall not reap your field up to its edge. How many of you have a field? Oh, okay, Nicholas, well done. And Yisin, okay, thank you for your hands. Okay, and even though there are so many rules and regulations that might make our heads spin, we might have to research deeper into why God instructed all those, right? Like, for example, we do not, or at a point in time, God said, do not reap your field all the way to its edge because they were supposed to leave the remainings for those who were poor, right? And in that way, they were supposed to remember the poor and love them that way. So thank Jesus and thank you, God, for summing it all up in chapter 19, verse 18. Okay? So I shall read it to you. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Okay? So even though there are many contexts and whatever that we have for that, God's purpose in sharing all of this and how we relate to each other is that love will be the underpinning thing, the thing that undergirds everything that we do towards our neighbor. Okay? So let me define love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so next slide. Okay, so that's love as a principle. Okay, so how we define it, right? So love, when Jesus said love, he wasn't referring to a feeling. So there's another slide. There has Mickey and Minnie Mouse. Yes. Okay, it's not just a feeling, right? Neither is it a pity or obligation. Okay, I think he was referring to an agape or agapao kind of love, right? If you search the Greek word of it, it means that there is a God kind of love that is given. Okay? And I would like to propose that this love, we need to have God's eyes and God's perspective as we see the neighbors that we are meant to love. Okay? Next, neighbor, right? So we think about who we live next to, like the auntie that lives down the street or the person or uncle that lives next to me. But Jesus wasn't interested in just the physical location of the person, right? He was actually interested in the heart's intention. So even to today, it relates to us because our hearts are supposed to be always seeking to love. Okay, and who is my neighbor? Okay, in Greek, the next slide, it will show you, actually it means the person near to you, the person you are close to, or in a more comprehensive search, it means any other person. And where there are two people concerned, the other. So that means the person that I'm with. Okay, regardless of nation or religion. Okay. Next, the words as yourself. So love your neighbors as yourself. Right? And that would mean that our human tendency to often spare a thought for ourselves, right? Would be also for others, that we would spare a thought for others. But this gets complicated when we don't give grace to ourselves, right? And when we don't allow ourselves to have the space to grow, we often also might be judgmental towards other people's failings or mistakes. So we tend to exclude people. That's why in the passage it says, love your neighbor as you would love yourself, right? And implicit in these two words are the need to know that, first of all, God loves us. We need to receive it. And therefore, we can love others as we love ourselves. Okay? So to illustrate what I've unpackaged further, let's all turn into the book of 1 Samuel. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel, because I'm going to speak on two individuals that exemplify loving your neighbor as yourself. Okay, how many of you have a guess on who I'm going to speak about? Saul? I heard Saul. David and Jonathan. Very good. Okay, so how many of you are familiar with Saul? Have you all heard about Saul? Okay, a few hands. Serene is shaking her head. Okay, so Saul was actually the first king of Israel, right? So the prophet Samuel came to anoint him. He was a good king for the first part of his reign. He fought many good battles and he was strategic. Okay, he was tall and he was a charismatic leader. Unfortunately, with that, people started to love him, and his love for God slowed down or diminished, right? And when that happened, the need for approval and popularity actually came into his heart, and he sought to keep his throne or his kingship instead of learning to love God. So in one particular scenario, he failed to obey God fully, and because of that, he was rebuked, he did not repent, and that's why fear started to grip him. So he had depression, black moods, just generally every day was a bad day. How many of you had a bad day this week? Okay, now imagine it every day. So that's Saul. Okay? Okay, so it's at this point. Wait, okay, we need to show the slide of David and Saul first. Okay, so that's Saul throwing the spear, and that's David. Okay, next slide. Very good. And this is our knight in shining armor, okay? So it's David. It's at this point that our first hero enters the scene, okay? David is a shepherd boy and is asked to minister to Saul as a musician because, you know, even that day, musical therapy is important, okay? Helps people get over their moods. So even though he got no MP3, he has David to walk around with him to play the harp. So David was also visited, okay, by the same prophet. Eventually, because Saul failed as king, Samuel came to anoint David and told him, you'll be the next king of Israel. Super awkward, right? For David, because he knows that the person he's serving is actually the person he's going to take over. So Saul did not need to even hear about what Samuel did. He knew that comparison was in his heart. So he started to compare with David and realized that he felt insecure. And it didn't help that the village girl started to chant that Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands, right? So one day, Saul was in a really bad mood and David came to play his harp. And when that happened, Saul threw that spear and pinned David to the wall. So Saul was the one who was clinging on to the throne in desperation. And by right, it would seem that David should get angry, right? Like he should stand up for his rights. He should have done something about it, but he did nothing. Okay? So let's move on to the third character of the story. So next slide. Right. Okay? So the dude next to the other dude is Jonathan. Okay? I googled Jonathan and that's what I came up with. So we are going to imagine that's Jonathan. So the happenings that was happening must have reached Saul's son, who is our second hero in the story, Jonathan. So Jonathan is the heir to the throne. That means he's going to be the next king. And in the midst of his father's insecurity, anger, and comparison, responds in a very different way from his father. So Saul paints David as an enemy, but Jonathan actually sees him as a friend. And that's really interesting. Okay, and so to kind of relate it to our current context, wherever we are, right? Actually, just like all of us today, David and Jonathan exist in a time where things aren't ideal. Okay, next slide. Right? We have many stresses. Fear grips us sometimes. And just like Saul, we might struggle with bad moods and whatever. David struggled with loneliness. Some of us struggle with loneliness. David probably felt rejection from the king and different things like that. Right? So in this context that we have, right, I think on the screen it says relationships, fitting in, expectations, different things that we all face, right, inclusive of myself. It's easy to not think of loving, right? So when our exams are coming up, it's easy to chung home, right, and then go and study and focus on our inadequacies and try to boost it up instead of thinking about who amongst our friends might actually need help. And in army, right, I often face a common situation. So how many of you are still in the army? Alright, so EY, David. Oh, let's give them a clap, you know, for serving the nation. So I was in a three sergeant system, okay? So that means like three leaders. And out of the three of us, each of us had to take a weekend duty, okay? And you know, each of us had to take weekend duty. Each of us had to choose a guard comm duty. And there was always one day, which was Saturday, that we had to pick. So someone has to do the Saturday duty. And I often feared that if I picked, if I said, okay, lah, guys, you know, I take the hit, let me take it, that people would take advantage of me, right? Or that I'll be taken for granted. And in this case, like, even when I know that taking up that duty might be loving them, I didn't feel like I wanted to because of the fear of missing out, right, with missing church or missing out with my friends and all that. So clearly there's a negative example, right? And it is a positive example of what I'm trying to say, which is that it is very difficult to love others when there are stresses or different things that are at stake. Okay? So what I want to say is that the struggle to love is real, but it's also a choice that we can make. So who else would have taken care of David in this situation, right, in the Bible? And would not Jonathan take his father's side since his father would eventually give Jonathan the throne, right? Like it makes sense that he should be against David. But love tells us a very different story. Okay, so today I'm going to give us 3 points. All of them start with P. Okay, and hopefully that helps us with learning how to love our neighbor, right? So the next slide. Loving your neighbor, right? And the first is presence of God. We need to be aware of the presence of God, right? Life is fleeting and many people come and go, right? I think this week alone, I saw so many Facebook friend anniversaries for me. Yeah. But, you know, we can often forget that love commits and perseveres and is long-suffering. And here in this story, Jonathan says something that really shocks all of us, okay? So let's all turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Hopefully you didn't close your Bible after I said turn to 1 Samuel. Okay, and let's read verse 1. Okay, are we all there? Okay. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Does it sound familiar? It's like loving your neighbor as yourself, right? Paraphrase, right? And interwoven into the stresses of their time and the complication of their situation, we find that friendship and love can still grow. Jonathan goes to make a covenant with David, right? So let's all turn one chapter on, 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 42. Okay. Or we can flip or scroll. Then Jonathan said to David, okay, let's all read it together, okay? Go in peace, because we have sworn, both of us, in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord shall be between me and you, and between my offspring and your offspring forever. Okay? And he rose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Right, a covenant between two houses or two offspring. In the midst of all of this nonsense that's happening, he does what is right. So in the story later on, he helps David escape, because David tells him that his father Saul, as in Jonathan's father, wants to kill him. And so Jonathan finds out that this is true, and he helps David escape. And this is at risk of him, his own life, right? Because clearly Saul is now murderous, and losing the possibility of losing his favor and relationship with his own earthly father, King Saul. But when Jonathan said this, the Lord shall be between me and you, and between my descendants and your descendants forever, it's a crazy thing to say. How many of you can imagine you saying that to your best friend right now? Wow, nice one, Brian. Okay, all of you capable of love, very good. Okay, but it is a very difficult thing to say. You know, for myself, right, there was once I told Gloria, my girlfriend, that I struggle to even see friendships beyond 5 years, because just cannot see, you know, like how many other things in life will come in to convolute circumstances and situations, right? But Jonathan was willing to see beyond all of that and commit, right? And he said that the Lord is between me and you. So this is very important, right? The presence of God. Jonathan is aware that the presence of God is in between both him and David. It's strange to go up to your closest friend and say, the Lord be between you and I, right? But I wrote ha ha ha, so I'm going to laugh very loudly, because Gideon said I laugh very loudly. Ha ha ha. Okay. But I want all of us to think about any friend you have and the interactions you have with them. Okay? So think of any friend. Could be a school friend, could be an older mentor figure, or whoever, someone younger than you, okay? Could be in your cell, could be a classmate. Okay? Does everyone have a name? If you have a name, say yes. Sweet. Okay? Now, think about how God being in the center of your relationship and knowing that God is sitting with you. Okay, so everyone turn to your left and right. Is there an empty seat? Like, for example, next to Hannah, there's an empty seat. And now imagine that God is sitting there, or God is sitting between Gloria and Pastor Peter. Okay? Clearly, there will be a change in how you react, right? The King of Glory is sitting next to you, or your good father is sitting next to you. Clearly, that will change how you respond to your friend, right? So, in your mind's eye, whoever you imagined, right? If you thought of your friend, perhaps you thought of a conflict you guys had recently, or perhaps you thought of, I don't know, maybe something rude that you said to him because, or her, because of familiarity, right? I want you guys to think about how, if God's presence was in the midst of your relationship, which it is, right? How much more patient, less quick to complain, and more loving we would be. Right? Another crazy thing that Jonathan says, right, is that the word forever, right? Do you hear my emphasis when I say forever? Yes. Okay. So, Jonathan understood that God was an eternal God, and he valued the idea that love wasn't temporary, but was eternal and transcending of generations, right? How many of you can think of a verse where God actually says that his love will last through the generations? Yes, right? You all know, right? Deuteronomy. Okay, good. Okay, so seriously, even though it's really funny that Jonathan said, you know, our houses will love each other forever, they did love each other enough to commit a love that would see their future sons and daughters love each other. They understood that in that verse, 1 Samuel chapter 4, 20, sorry, verse 42, that for us to be able to love our neighbor, we need God's love and the awareness that God is in our relationship. So if you're taking down notes, right, number one, the presence of God. His love shapes our relationships. And such a love is not dependent on what we can get from the other friend or our neighbor, whoever that neighbor is. It isn't transactional. It does not count the score or a record of wrongs. It is very well aware that the witness of your relationship is a God, the God of creation himself, who commanded in Leviticus chapter 19 to love your neighbor as yourself. We need to know that God is present in our journey to love our neighbor. He is between us and our neighbor. Okay, sorry. So we should show this slide. Yeah. The presence one. Did you show that already? The slide before this. No, the other one. Right, so, I mean, I think recently my friend Amanda Joy went into CJC, right? And she saw this, and that's so powerful, to have this in your school, right, where you remember that God's presence is with you as you study. Okay, next slide. And why is it about God being in between? Oh, sorry, this was me asking for a friend. Next slide. Yeah, right, God in between our friendship. And he's guiding, surfacing, and encouraging, right? So I'm going to share a story. Not yet. Never mind. Okay, so let's have God at the center of our love for each other, okay? As we step into this auditorium or into your cell, right? Let him be the center of our thoughts as we remember the poor and as we go on mission trips, right? The people that we interact with, let's not reduce them to numbers or recipients of our love alone. But let's treat them as human lives with their own stories and their own journeys with God, right? The first commandment, how many of you remember the first commandment, the one that I read from Mark 12 earlier? Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? It's the reason for the second commandment, which is to love your neighbor as yourself, right? It's because we love God, that's why we love others. It is not a disconnected thing. And we cannot profess to say that we love God, but not our neighbor. Okay? So let's all turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. Okay. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Okay, let's read this part together, okay? 1, 2, 3. Whoever commandments abides in God, and God in him. Right? Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Next slide. So, if you all can write down the quote, or you all can type it out, it'll be good. So, Christians, right, believers of Jesus like you and I, our love for others, it comes from God and our awareness that God exists in our lives, right? We need his help to abide in him, but also very much to love others, okay? So, let's go to my second point, which is perspective, okay? So, the perspective of God, okay? So, what's the first point? Presence, okay, the presence of God. Okay, so second point is perspective of God. Let's take a moment to think, okay? Have you ever been in a situation where you might have viewed a person through how much they could be of use to you? Okay? Let's think. So it could be many things. Okay. Now that you have thought of that, King Saul looked at David as someone he could use to solve his depression. He saw David as a threat, the object of his hatred, the obstacle to a dynasty that he longed to establish. Cool lights. Easily, the solution to his problem, which was what David had become, became murder, right? That's why King Saul wanted to kill David, because he no longer viewed David as precious enough as a human being, right? Have you ever prayed to God to get rid of someone before? When you are like, God, I pray that, you know, you just get rid of my teacher because he doesn't like me. Right? You know, at this moment, it's when we have devalued that person so much that we have lost the value or God's perspective of this individual, right? So this could very well have been the same perspective that Jonathan had chosen to take. He knew eventually that David would be the successor to the throne. And not just did this mean the end to his father's rule, right? But it means the end of his rule as well. So this could mean that he could have viewed David as a complication or an obstacle. But Jonathan did what Saul could not. He saw David through God's eyes, as we all need to do as we love our neighbor as ourselves. Okay, so I'm going to read a quote, so we can jump to that slide. Okay, it's a bit small, so I'll read it out. Okay, in showing how we value people, one of the greatest things we can do is to confirm the deepest thing in him or her, to take the time and have discernment to see what's most deeply in there. Most fully that person and confirm it by recognizing and encouraging it. Each of us have contact with hundreds of people who never look beyond the surface of our being. We have dealings with people who, the moment they set their eyes on us, begin calculating what use we can be to them and what they can get out of us. Snap judgments of us are made and we are slotted to categories, right? Like student, like sergeant, like corporal. So they don't have to deal with us as persons. They treat us as something very much less than who we were or who we are meant to be. But then, someone enters our life who seeks to simply love, not looking for someone to use, and is leisurely enough to find out what's really going on in us. This person is secure enough to not exploit the weaknesses that might be obvious or attack our strengths to make him feel better, who recognizes our inner life and understands the difficulty of living out our inner convictions and confirm what's deepest within us. That's love. And that's what it means to view someone with God's perspective, where the person is beyond the digit or the number that they represent, beyond the result of their exams, beyond the rank in army. There was a quote from one of my favorite authors, and it's an amazing thing when a friend actually does so. How many of you have friends that do this for you, where they affirm the goodness in your person? For me, oh, thank you, Gracia. Right, and yeah, different ones of us, we have experienced that. For those of us that have not, I encourage you to stop the trend of non-love and start to do this for someone. There is a difference in how we think of people and how God thinks of people. And it is further amplified when we struggle to love the individual, right? So based on our human tendencies, we are quick to judge, discriminate, and think of them as either good or bad, and whether they are of use to us, right? Next slide. Okay, next slide. All right. Okay, whereas God, our Creator, knows the inner workings, the environments we grew up with, and our struggles, and is a just God in looking at the entirety of the situation, His experiences, His struggle, and His heart. We need to ask God to show us what He sees. It is when we abide in Him that we are able to ask God for what He sees in another person. Intellectually, we know that everyone is created by God and bears His image with a spirit and soul, with emotions, and are precious. Okay? So shifting from how we think as individuals, human beings, to how God views them, it's like moving away from a movie character, okay, that's presented as flat, okay? Flat means that the character is one-dimensional, like Mickey Mouse, right? One-dimensional. To a character that we identify with, understand, empathize, and maybe even fall in love with, right? This might even happen for some of us who watch movies. So, how many of you like movies? Great, okay? How many of you, when you see a villain, you just think this person is bad, right? Hey, so there's a flat character, right? Whereas earlier that slide of Magneto, right? Clearly he's not a flat character. We understand his character development. We understand the struggle that he goes through as an orphan, right? As Eric Lensher, right? And when we understand his fight and his own idea that he thinks he's doing what is right, we begin to empathize. So another character that we can empathize with or we understand more is Darth Vader, which is next slide. Right? Where we see the character development in the first three movies as Anakin Skywalker and how he becomes a bad boy. Okay? So, in our lives, we don't have Darth Vader or Magneto, but we have people that are mean to us, bullies, whoever, right? And instead of just seeing them as evil or bad or horrible classmates, it's important to try to understand what God sees in them or their backstory. You know what I'm saying? Yes, great. So Jonathan saw what God saw. He saw David as someone that deserved to be loved. And that's what David's name means. Right? So let's see the slide. So Jonathan and David. Okay? Right? Wow. Clap, laugh. Applause for David and Jonathan. Right? So... Wow. What I really want to honor these two individuals that I know from our youth is that I've seen both of them walk through each other in their army journeys. And most of you know that army is not an easy time, right? And both of them always choose to see each other in God's perspective. We have a WhatsApp group where we are really honest and we share our failings, right? But I think every time we share our failings, like, I don't think any of us judge each other. And I think that's how the Jonathan in the Bible, sorry, not the real Jonathan, the Bible, right, saw David, right, as the beloved. And I think David knows this, but the name or the meaning of David actually means beloved. So Jonathan confirms even David's identity as a friend. And he chose not to see a one-dimensional form of David, but a narrative that was written by God, the master author of his own faith, a precious life and a friend. Okay, so I want to share a story. This is a blog excerpt. So I used to keep a blog, live journal account. Some of you were friends with me at that point in time. Okay, so it's about a story in army, okay? So this person, I'll call him Beng, okay? B-E-N-G. Yeah, you can show that slide. So it's the journey of how I became a sergeant. So Beng was someone who always wanted to pick a fight with me in BMD. Right, he saw me early at the parade square, and he found it funny that I obeyed the rules. What he didn't know was actually I went early in the parade square because that was the only place that no one was, and I could do my quiet time. Right, and he was vulgar, uncouth, dirty in his mind and thoughts and actions. He was violent, even, and I really disliked it whenever he teased me for my faith or my choice of friends. But yet, he was someone that made everyone laugh. And one of those that I actually found fun to hang out with. In army lah, okay, not out of army. The bookouts were very precious to me. So somehow, we struck up a superficial friendship when we went to command school together. In command school, things began to happen. One time, when we were doing our SAW fam shoot, SAW is semi-automatic weapon, okay, at the range, it was a Saturday night, it was quite sian. And during those draggy Saturday hours at 1 a.m., he started asking me about church, and that really shocked me. He told me he was even a Christian once, and I recall praying in my BMD days in my journal that I would have the opportunity to share with someone my faith. I brought a small Bible the following week after book out, and it contained the New Testament and Proverbs and Psalms. It's the Gideon Bible. Okay? And passed it to him in week 2 or 3 of CISPEC or SCS. He gave me an incredulous look when I passed it to him, but somehow he seemed grateful. In my mind, I felt like he would just throw it away or toss it into a corner. Weeks passed, and we entered field camp, UO week, which was one of the tougher weeks in SCS. During my sentry duty, he couldn't sleep, and it was 1 a.m., and we started talking about the girls that we liked. Because it's a great key to unlock all friendships, right? And we both realized we had the same problem because we both often felt lonely. Because girls often, the next thing is like, yeah, I feel lonely without her, right? And God's love, no, sorry, somehow he randomly asked me why I believe in God. And I shared with him about my brother and how I became a Christian. how I felt that God's love was in every season, not just one. And I began to open up with him on why I became a Christian. He began to, in turn, share why he left church. And it was the first time in the army I felt a real conversation happen that went beyond females, studies, or the future. And we talked about something that I felt everyone needed, which was a God. Last week, in 2010, I asked if he could join me at service today. Unfortunately, it happened to be the week he got confined. And I'll be asking him again to come this week. Okay, he didn't come. I really enjoyed the journey with him. As SISPEC or SCS draws to a close, God, you've somehow placed a passion for me to love him as I love myself. Just when no one thought he would make it through heaven's doors, I desire that he will. God, show me the bigger picture beyond my own self to see the needs that are around me. I want to serve you. I didn't want to see army as a place I have no choice but to be there. But instead, I want to reach out to the people. So this was written in 2010, and I was quite shocked when I saw, because I just did a search on my blog, Love Your Neighbor, and then this came out. It really did not mention how tough a struggle it was to love him in BMD, because he was somewhat of a bully verbally. But when we pray, God will shape us and give us the chances to love. Okay, so my third point. Okay, so that was having God's perspective. So first point, having the awareness of the presence of God. Second, having the perspective of God. And lastly, supporting the purpose of God in your friend's life. Okay, I'm going to end soon. Jonathan saw God in David and decided to serve God's purposes in David's life. You have to be aware, okay, our next slide. Okay, you have to be aware that God is present, sorry, not this slide. You have to be aware that God is present for you to actually see what he sees and to support the purpose he has placed in that person's life. Okay, I'm going to repeat that. You have to be aware that, number one, that he's present or that his presence is there. Number two, you have to see what he sees, which is his perspective, in order to see the purpose that he has placed in your friend. Okay, next slide. Like Han Solo for Luke Skywalker. That's right. And like Samwise Gamgee for Frodo. Next slide. These friends loved and created a culture of support. They weren't interested in loving for the sake of self-progression. Except maybe Han Solo, who needed money. Okay? They were thinking and desiring to love generically. They saw the mission and purpose their best friend had, or the hero of the story had, right? And in the story, Lord of the Rings, how many of you have not watched Lord of the Rings? You guys need to watch it if you're not having your exams. Alright? Okay? They saw the purpose, okay, sorry. In the story, Lord of the Rings, right? The main person, Frodo, has a mission, okay? He has to destroy a ring of power. And this ring of power somehow is linked to an evil dark lord. I don't know why, but that's how it is, okay? And so, Frodo has to destroy the ring, okay? And as he goes onto this mission, he has to go into this really dark place called Mordor. Everyone say Mordor. Yeah. Okay, and it's very depressing. The whole set of the screen is blank. It's even more depressing than when I read the book. Okay, and times get tough for Frodo in summary. And at one point, his friend Samwise looks at him and into his eyes. Okay, he knows that he can't do the job for Frodo, right? So like all of us, we have friends. Like my friend Andre, who's laughing right now. He's a friend of mine. And sometimes I look at him, I know that I can't help him, right? I can't carry his burden. But you know what? Samwise, knows he can't do the job for Frodo, and yet he doesn't want to abandon him either. And he says this beautiful quote, okay? And this is in the midst of dehydration. They have no food, they are wounded, they are tired, they can barely open their eyes, they are struggling, they are on their knees. And he says, Master Frodo, I can't carry the ring for you, but I can carry you. You all see my tear wipe, okay? But I can carry you. And then he proceeds this slide, yeah. In one of the most emotional scenes of the film or stories in the storybook to carry him up all the way the mountain, the last step. And that's crazy, right? Like, that's really loving our neighbor. For some of us, we might not know what a purpose looks like in our friend. So let me give a few examples. It could range from something as simple as helping a friend who's struggling to love his family or her family to love them. It could be sending an encouraging text to someone you know is struggling with their A-levels or an exam. Or it could be, like how I have for many of you, doing a survey for your university education, right? Yeah. And Jonathan did too. And Jonathan not just helped a purpose like studies or family, he helped David in his spiritual assignment. Many years later, while David became an exile, so you know David ran away from Saul, he's now in exile. He's not allowed back into the kingdom. Jonathan sneaks into the caves in the wilderness to find David. Okay, and you guys don't have to flip to this. Yeah, you can, yeah, the photo of the cave. In 1 Samuel 23, verse 16, Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. "Don't be afraid," he said. "My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home. But David remained at Horesh. Jonathan could not help him in his mission or help him in his purpose. But what he did, he carried David. He carried and gave David strength. And that's what we can all do for our friends. Whether it's a text of prayer at the beginning of a week, or a long phone call, or a meetup. Jonathan was someone that understood love and affirmed God's purpose in David as the future king of Israel. Okay, this is the ending. The crazy thing, Jonathan actually had a son. His name, how many of you know his name? Wow, you guys are so Bible literate. Fantastic. His son is Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth was a cripple because when the war happened, his nurse tripped. He fell and he became a cripple. By right, he would have been in line for the throne because of Saul's lineage. And David could have been insecure, like how Saul once was. He could have killed him and no one would have blamed him. He could have killed him and maybe no one would have noticed. But David decided to treat Mephibosheth as his own. He decided to love his neighbor as himself, to sit him at his family table, and to welcome him to his throne. Okay, so if you have forgotten everything, remember this. In loving your neighbor as yourself, you need to know that number one, God's presence is in between you and your friend. Number two, his perspective helps you understand, empathize, and love them. And lastly, you get to support God's purpose in their lives as a Han Solo or as a Samwise. In becoming a Christian, one of the foremost thoughts we should have is how to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Love defined his ministry. He loved his neighbor as himself. I'm sure we all know that. In his healings, in his actions, thoughts, even his feelings, his emotions towards people. His heart was always tender. And of course, we all know that his greatest act of love was on the cross for you and I as a culmination of such a struggle. Did he find it easy to love his neighbor? At that point when he was about to go on the cross, it was difficult, but he made the choice. And I think all of us can do likewise because Jesus overcame. Okay. Let's close our eyes. Kus Youth, we can easily, as members, look at our leaders as maybe even entertainment sometimes. Is cell word entertaining today? Were they deep enough? Could they provide a good word? Cell leaders, sometimes we see our members as people to mark our attendance for a number. And while this might not necessarily be all of us, some of us are certainly guilty of viewing each other one-dimensionally. It is an incomplete way of loving anyone. We are so much more than that. And to be the kind of people that God wants us to be would mean that we have to love as how God first loved us. We should see what God first saw in us. Many of us will struggle, if not all, to love someone. And today I want to give us a chance to pray to God and ask Him to reveal someone that you struggle to love. And as that name pops to your mind, even right now, I want you to go through the points that I had in the sermon. Let God speak on who this person is, where you are to begin, how you are going to do this. It could be someone from church, your cell. It could be a bully in school, a lecturer, a family member. Whoever that comes to your mind, don't shut that thought of that person out right now because it's difficult. Wrestle with that thought that that person can have the love of Jesus through you. And you will pour out that love on that person as Jesus poured out His love on the cross. Let the thoughts that you might have towards that person, neutrality maybe, disappointment, rejection, anger, possibly even hatred, slip away as you see how God sees them. You can open your eyes. You know, I have an idea or a dream of some sort that this congregation of 350 people will be so tight-knit and such a family to each other that it feels like it's a family of five. And that's not possible if love does not undergird it. I'm sure you guys know that for different things, the ushers and the welcome ministry have tried celebrating birthdays. You know, we try to honor our speaker. We stand in honor to, and we celebrate, you know, when people from our family, amongst all of us, get baptized. But clearly, love goes way deeper than that. And it begins with your neighbor, whoever God has placed in your heart. Something I felt like I have to share also, is that some of us will feel like we cannot. And there's an incapability. There are so many lenses to whoever it is that we have to learn to love that we find it impossible. You know, my encouragement is that God is in between you and that person, and that He's present, and that He will surface the first step. He's faithful, and God wants to speak. If only we want to hear. You know, so don't be discouraged if you've tried to love someone for a long time, but that has been difficult and you're not sure where or how. Let God guide you in that journey. So let me pray for all of us as I close the service. Father, we thank You that each of us has a heart to love, not just our close friends or the people that are easy to love, but even the people that are hard to love. God, I thank You that we have said as a congregation last week that we will love You with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God, today we say that we will love our neighbor as ourselves, that this Coos Youth, that there will be a culture of love, that a congregation of 350 people will feel like a family of five. So I commit everyone into Your hands. I pray that You bless all of us in the room, in the auditorium tonight. Lord, those who are going through their A-levels and finishing up, the poly students that are also finishing up their projects, and the university students that are preparing for their finals as week 13, week 14 draws near. God, will you, in the midst of this stress and trial, will this not deter us from loving you? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.whos.org.sg. God bless.